some verses from Ephesians chapter 3. This writing is always so complex and interwoven, but I wanted us to hear this on this particular Epiphany Sunday. For surely, this is Paul writing, for surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and shares in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant, to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that in the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. Today is Epiphany. Throughout Christmas and Advent preceding it, we have been working with the theme, the Lord is our righteousness. And on this Epiphany Sunday, it's as though we're in a kind of, it's kind of a doorway between this season that came before and are moving into ordinary time. In the season of Advent and Christmas, when we anticipate and wait with hope, with joy, with love, with peace, and for those things too, for hope, for joy, for love, for peace. In a time of preparation and a recognition of our human neediness, we wait. And then comes the birth, the arrival, the presence of Emmanuel, God with us. Birth and incarnation and holy celebration. But now comes ordinary time. And we ask on a day like today, on Epiphany, how do we take that incarnation and celebration? How do we extend the hope and joy and love and peace into our home and school and community, into our work and play? How do we take the story of the Lord God, who is our righteousness, known in the birth of a baby, and how do we live that? And how do we share that? And sometimes, how do we keep it going when we lose heart or we are not certain? So how do we take Christmas with us to the everyday places and even into new, though ordinary, places? How is God's story our story? And how might we journey as individuals and as a congregation and as a community within the narrative, the greater narrative of God's story? Well, I don't have lots of answers, but here are some things I've been pondering on, directives of sorts as I've thought about this story. And I've thought of this story a lot because, of course, many of you know the first time I came to this church was on an Epiphany Sunday back somewhere in the 90s and preached on this text. And I've preached on it, I think, at least twice, two other times since I've been here. So it's a kind of a touchstone for me of my life with this congregation. So let me share what I've been pondering for myself and See what resonates with you. So we have the picture, of course, the scene of the night sky. Ah, we've got the dawn, too. And that's part of it. And I think about it. Who was this first Epiphany story about? And I hear in my inner ear, it says, be a wise one. Be a magi. Be a traveler and a seeker and a searcher. And the first part of that for me is to look up. Look up. Look outward. Extend my vision. I think that has really become real for me in a very practical way as I walk with one of my clients who I see three mornings a week. And I walk, she stands and walks with her walker, and I push a transport chair behind her in case she needs to sit down suddenly or loses her balance. And I've taken to saying to her, stand tall, look further ahead. Because I discover I need to do that for myself. So often in my life journey, both physically and spiritually, I'm watching my feet way too much. Or I'm looking right in front of me. And my vision, my depth perception is pretty poor. I walk into stuff quite often. So extend my vision. And I think there's a spiritual something there for you, and you'll know what that is for you. So often, you know, we don't see what's around us. So that's the next thing for me in being a wise one or learning to be a wise searcher. Is take note of what you see. Pay attention. Jesus often said, you know, those who have ears need to hear, and those who have eyes need to see, because so often we don't. I was at the mall yesterday. I often go to the mall to sit down and do my writing, because for some strange reason, all that commotion around me makes me lock down in a strange way. But it's also that I can't get up and go to the kitchen and get more coffee, or get diverted in doing this and that around the house. But I realized at that mall when I was walking around how I don't see people. You know, I'm setting my path. So I also need to take note. And one of the joys for me yesterday was meeting an acquaintance there, and having a good conversation about a dear friend of ours who passed away this last week after a long illness with cancer. But it was good to talk and to be in communion with one another. And so often, I'm thinking too about David, who I've talked about before. He was a teacher in school, and when he was losing his vision as part of his Alzheimer's, he would walk up and down the corridors at Barton Swallow Place. And one time I was walking with him, and I got kind of lagged behind him. And he couldn't see me. And he said, no running in the corridors. Woo, the teacher was outright like that. So he was paying attention in his own way. And I think, yes, pay a note what you see. We will miss lots of things, but we might see something that we weren't expecting. Another directive for me is start the journey in the way you want to go. I think about that too in relating to some of my clients. I think, I need to start with those new clients, the pattern of relating to them in a way that is most useful. But I think about embodying a pattern in daily life and a practice, a practice that honors God and that honors ourselves, you know, the intention to live out a good journey. You know, that might take some planning. It might think about living in the moment. But it's a balance, and you will know what that is for yourself. I read a list during the last week of spiritual practices that a woman wrote to keep her centered and focused on God. For me, that's often singing. It's some small daily reflections on scripture or a meaningful text. And as I think about starting that journey, I want to remember that God's the road manager, you know, of my individual journey and also of our collective journey. And that's why I also thought about this as our journey in God's story. Another directive, travel with others whenever possible. God is a God of relationship. And so having companions and being a companion and making companions for our journey gives us resources and support and aid and teaching. And it allows us to fulfill those roles for other people too. So when one of us flags, another can carry the vision. Another one helps us to search for the star in that night sky and provides encouragement. More eyes to see, more ears to hear, more hands of caring and compassion and service to help one another. Another directive, make regular stops and refuel as needed. The scripture text doesn't say anything about this, but I think, I hear that. We need to do that. And another one is, take heart in the dark. Realize that the dark is the background against which stars appear. I thought that the time as a children was very useful in thinking, we don't have the guidance of and the direction and the vision of stars or a star if we don't have that backdrop of dark. So take heart. Sunlight and daylight is good, and we look to the dawn. We do. But bright lights can also distract us and blind us and prevent us from seeing where we are going. So we learn that even in the dark, there is enough light for one step, the next step. Remember, in the dark night times, that occasional flashes of light and sightings are taking you, me, us, to where we need to go. They're there when we need them. Step-by-step maps are wonderful, but there are times in the dark when we don't have them. We don't have a map. Likewise, agendas. We may just have the next step or the next agenda item. So let's develop trust that the one whose glory fills the skies will, in the right time, when we look upward, extend our vision outward, trust that the one whose glory fills the skies will shine in our darkness. Ask for directions. Note the Magi with the scientific minds of their time, astrologers, learning from the heavens, sought information in Jerusalem. Even in the dark of Herod's court, and Herod was not a nice man, he was a murderer of his children who he thought might want his throne, and stole his husband's wife and did things like that. He wasn't nice. He was a murdering tyrant. But even there in Herod's court in Jerusalem, there was direction. there were the experts who could say the words, recite the words of the prophet, and direct the Magi when they couldn't see the star toward Bethlehem. So that's the other part of asking for directions, is be prepared for redirection. Remember, we are journeying in God's story, and God redirects us often. We may think our destination is Jerusalem when God has Bethlehem in mind. This is where practicing our discipline of listening and prayer and openness gives us the flexibility to listen and respond to that redirection. Maybe when it's really important, or if it's necessary, we will even have a warning in a dream like the Magi. I didn't write anything down really about this, but I guess I do want to say that in our journey, note that not all directions from all people are well-intended. That's why it's really good to have companions who can help us to interpret what we need and to make decisions based on what we are learning. Another directive, enjoy surprises. How surprised were the wise ones when they saw Mary with the child? There was no court or crown, no outward appearance of the high and mighty. The manifestation of God is so often not what we are expecting. In its miraculous ordinariness, God draws near to us and draws us to God's self. There is throughout God's story all this unlikely choice of who is working, through whom God is working. And while there may be some miracles, and there are some miracles, for the most part, God chooses ordinary people and the appearance of what is ordinary. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, amazingly, looked a lot like the people among whom he came to dwell. And I was thinking about that on the right here. I thought, oh my. It's the fact that it's so ordinary that is in some ways miraculous, because it brings us so into the story, and it is God's affirmation and love and care for us that we can access it. You know, it's that kind of thing then that we can bring with us into our journey as part of God's story. God is made known in flesh like ours. Here I am. I am here. And it reminded me of, where did I see God this last week? And I had a moment in church last Sunday, or after church, that I loved. And I commented on it at the time. Amelia was sitting on Becky's lap, and they were just enjoying each other's company. And I loved that. That was, to me, a sign of the presence of God with us. The affection and the care and the developing relationship of a child and an adult. And I carry that as a kind of sign of God's presence here in this place. It's a reminder for another directive. Be open to revelation as a journeying process. You know, this light gradually dawning on us. Let's be travelers in God's story. We won't get it all the time, but we'll get it gradually, and we'll get some of it. And God will make use of us through that. And then finally, remember that you and I, we are insiders in our story. But God owns the story. It seems to me that is our invitation to learn from outsiders when we feel like we're insiders, because we haven't always been. In some ways, we are outsiders. But prepare to learn from people like the Magi, who come from a distance, travelers who see things from a different perspective, who follow a kind of light and point it out to us, who share it with us in the richness of their gifts and their person. And that's what Ephesians talks about, the mystery revealed that God brings together people who are insiders and outsiders. And out of that rich diversity that is made manifest in the household of faith, God's love, God's power, God's mercy, God's grace, God's righteousness is revealed. Amen. Hallelujah.